Good morning. As has already been said, my name is Pastor Chad Van Ginkel. I bring you greetings from your brother and sister church, Faith in Town here. It is good for us to be together again. I invite you to open your scriptures to 1 John 1. 1 John 1. One of the family habits or traditions that me and my family, before we, as you turn to it, one of the things that my family and I love to do, my Oma lives in Linden, Washington. And so we have to travel to see her as families do. And as a family of six, we've discovered that plane tickets are just too expensive. And so we drive out there and we've become a family of road trips. Maybe you're like that. And so my wife likes to do Shutterfly. And so she makes these timelines of road trips together. And I remember as we look back on a special year, which was 2013, my family and I decided to drive down to Phoenix to visit my sister. That was a special trip for us. Not only was we surrounded by family and friends, but there was evidences of God's grace in good things and in hard things. I remember when we went down to Phoenix, we saw the Grand Canyon, and pictures don't do justice to that. If you've ever seen it, you know. We saw Mesa Verde, we saw the arches, we saw all these wonderful things. But also on that trip, as we were going down in the middle of the Navajo Desert in the northwest corner of Arizona at a temperature of 111 degrees, the air conditioning in our van kicked out. Can you about imagine six of us in a minivan trying to keep cool when it's that warm? You can open the windows all you want, but that's hot air blowing on you. We traveled the remainder of the 4 to 6 hours, I can't remember, in that heat. We stopped at Flagstaff, not because we needed gas, but simply for air conditioning in the gas station. But when we think of road trips, when we think of adventures, one of the things as we look at 1 John is a letter that John is writing to a community of churches. He's writing to a community of churches that not only love the Lord, but they're experiencing a hardship. And we'll get to this in a moment. He's experiencing a hardship. We read in 1 John 2:19 that people are leaving the church, that there's this division going on. And you go on to read in 1 John 3 where John actually has to tell his congregation, don't just love with words, but love in action. Because there's tension growing in the church community. As we look at timelines this morning, As we look at God's presence in the good and bad, I think 1 John is a good place for us to start. Providentially, our church at Faith is going through the letters of John, and we decided this already in the beginning of October. Our God is good and providential. Because John asks us the question, or begs us to ask the question, as we go through difficult times on our journey, who is Jesus? Let's read 1 John, starting at verse 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Life appeared, and we have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us and fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we talk about our journey, no matter where you are in that journey, maybe you're at the grandeur of the Grand Canyons, or maybe you are at that point where you feel like things are breaking down and falling apart. No matter where your journey is, John wants to remind us at the very beginning that there is something bigger going on in our lives than the events that we are encountering. In the beginning, that which was at the beginning, we read in the very first line. John's calling us back to his gospel. He's calling us back to the gospel in John 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God." This morning, as we come and as we encounter our own journeys and as we reflect, what John is trying to do, he's getting us to focus on what is the center of our lives, no matter where our journey is at. You may be coming to church full of joy. You may be coming to church full of sorrow. John is asking his church, and he's reflecting and asking us today, who is the center of your life? As you reflect on your timeline, is Jesus, who was there at the beginning, the center? Because it is this Jesus, it is this one, this Christ presence who has shown himself in the past will allow us to move forward. One of the stories, and I have a picture of this, if you want to come and see it, one of the stories that reminds of God's presence in our lives is we had just passed the Arches National Park and we were going into Colorado, and my youngest daughter, she had to use the restroom. And like most families, it wasn't just the number one. She had to, you know, do her business. And we're trying to figure out, okay, where do we stop? Because if you've ever been to that part of the country, there's absolutely nothing there. It's all red rock and desert. And so we're sitting here thinking there's not even ditches around to go in. And so we finally made the decision after 20 minutes. We said, you know what? We're just going to have to pull off because it's either a mess outside or a mess in the car. And I apologize for this. But we pulled out. And wouldn't you know it, with nothing around, there is this picture of the spot a pot. I have evidence. There's nothing around, but there was this spot a pot lifted off the ground just for my family. You can come and look at this after the service. Our God is good. He shows us himself in so many unique and powerful ways. And are you reflecting on the grandeur of who he is? Are you reflecting on the goodness of who he is, no matter what else is going on in your lives? Because first things first, is he the center? And this just isn't a text about making Jesus the center. It is, but there's more to that, because Jesus is our life. As we read in John 1 in his gospel, it says, concerning the word of life, in him is life. So where do you find your life this morning? Where do you find your eternal life, as 1 John 1 talks about? You see, when we go through the difficult times, when we go through hard times, we have a tendency to put blinders on. We have a tendency to only see the negative things that are going on in our lives. We have a tendency to spiral down and question and doubt and wonder where our God is. And those are very natural things to happen for us. But what we need to remember when we're in that time, going through those difficult places, as John is trying to tell his churches in the beginning, who are you centering yourself on? Are you centering yourself on the word of life? Are you centering yourself on Emmanuel? In a few weeks, we're going to be going to Advent. We're going to be looking at Christmas. And do you believe this morning that Jesus is Emmanuel? Do you believe that this God who came down to earth in flesh understands you? That's the good news for us every Sunday, is it not? Isn't that good news that we need to be reminded of? That in the beginning, this Jesus was there before we stepped foot on this earth. And he'll be here long after he calls us home, but is this Emmanuel, this eternal life which John talks about, is the one who walks with us, is the one who guides us. It's the God who is with us. Now, we may not understand everything. We may cry out in pain. We may cry out in anger as the psalmist did in the Old Testament. But the truth of Scripture in multiple places and spoken of here again in John's first letter to the churches is God is with us. Emmanuel. And not only is he with us, he's been here before us. That which was from the beginning. And he has done so that we might have life. What is this life that he gives us? What is this gift of eternal life, that life has appeared? How does this benefit us? Well, towards the verse 4, we hear of this word fellowship a couple different times. What is fellowship? Fellowship is this idea of shared experience. Fellowship is this idea of shared communion, shared values together. I come here from a different church having fellowship with you this morning, not necessarily because I'm a member here, but because we share the same values, because we share the same city, because we interact with one another in the experiences of our town. We have fellowship together as a community. But as we talk about fellowship with God, we can use that and to define what that means. Fellowship with God is much the same way. When we share the values of God, when we love the things that God loves, when we seek justice the way God seeks justice, when we get angered at the same thing that God gets angry at, we have fellowship with him. This is what Scripture talks about when it says to be in Christ. To be in Christ is to have fellowship with Christ. It's to have the same values. It's to have the same experiences. It's to share the same death on the cross and the same resurrection afterwards that he has gifted to us because of grace. John comes testifying to us, reminding us of who Jesus is this morning and to his church back then. There is so much evidence of God's goodness. Are you taking time to reflect on it and to see it? Brothers and sisters, we have witnessed God's presence. We have felt it before. We have seen it in the lives of our children and of our parents and of the heritages that have gone on before us. We have seen God's goodness, even if in the present moment we may be struggling with it. We know that God became flesh and walked among us. We know that this life has appeared before us, and as we celebrate Christmas and as we think about who Jesus is and about how much he loves us here this morning, may you be filled with hope because of that. Because we know as we reflect on this life that has appeared to us, we know that the God who created us has given us his identity in this form of Jesus. The expression of who our God is, the truest expression of who our God is, his values, his compassion, his righteousness, his justice, his mercy, his anger has manifested himself in Jesus Christ and has appeared to us. And look while John talks about this. Look at how many times in these four verses it says, we have heard this. We have seen this. More so, we have touched Jesus ourselves. He has manifested himself among us. We can testify to what we have seen and what we have heard in the past so that we might have faith to move forward. See, if we believe that Jesus truly appeared and manifested himself among us, if we truly believe that God walked this earth in the form of Jesus Christ, then we believe in much more than just a God-man who stepped on this earth for atonement. Yes, that is a major part of his walking this earth, but we believe in more than that. If we believe that Jesus walked this earth incarnate, then we believe that everything that Jesus did was perfect, including his compassion to those who didn't deserve it. If we believe that Jesus' actions represented our God, then we believe that everything that Jesus did in guiding us into God's presence is right and true according to his own modeling. If we believe that Jesus is incarnate Word of God, then we also believe that we, as his followers, must submit, must bow down, and must follow as Jesus followed. We must respond to things like the book of Job, right? Job questioned, but yet ultimately he bowed before an awesome God who set boundaries on this earth. If Jesus truly appeared at Christmas, as we'll celebrate in a few weeks, then we also know that there will be those who are offended by this. There are those that will be offended by a God who calls us to live a certain way, and their own rules that they set for themselves will be against those rules that God has set in place for us. We will no longer be able to rule ourselves, but we'll have to follow a different path. But incarnation also means that Jesus' way of faith, prayer, forgiveness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness as the only way to bring joy is also something that we must grapple with. In Christ, our God walked with us. And the life that we live and the life that he gives, he not only talks about, but it's something that we can have. And the life that we have is not a byproduct of knowledge. The life that we have in Christ is not something that we necessarily, we learn from it in school, but it's not something we grasp necessarily in school or even from a book. Life in Christ is something that, it's a result of our experience of seeing and touching and having fellowship with our God. Life in Christ is being real and honest about the joys and awe and wonder of his creation. It's about being in awe of the fellowship that he has given to us. But life in Christ is also real. It's about being real and honest about our sense of hurt. It's about being real and honest about our sense of pain. But more so than these two extremes, being in Christ is acknowledging that he is present with us in both those circumstances. We can move forward as a community. We can look at Covenant Church, and we can move forward as a church, not because of the situations of the past, but we can move forward because our God has revealed his glory in the past, and we trust that he will do so again. And we are convinced that what was good, what we have seen, and what we have heard of our God's presence, what we have touched, and how he has touched us, we are convinced that he will once again show his glory. And we put our hope in the grip that our God has on us, not in the grip that we hold to him. The life and fellowship that we have with our God is throughout our scriptures. There are multiple passages, and just let me share some of these things, because life is not dictated, this life in Christ is not dictated by our situations, but it's dictated, as I said, by the grip that our God has on us. And just let me read some words from Ephesians, starting at verse 1:13. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We were marked. There's a deposit guaranteeing that God's glory will be shown again. We can go to Romans, to Romans 8, verse 35, where we read these words: Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall hardship or trouble or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword or danger? No, all of these things In all of these things, we are more than conquerors to those who have loved him. For we are convinced, I am convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, whether height or depth, nor anything in all of creation, will separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus because of the grip that he has on us. And finally, from John, in his own words, in the Gospel of John, John 10, verse 28, we read these words: "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." We are held in the grip of our loving God, no matter what stage of life, no matter what part of the journey that we are on. And it's that grip. It's in that grip that we find our joy. Not in the situations that happen to come our way. Because as we identify with Jesus Christ, as we focus and center ourselves on him, we realize that fellowship with him is what completes, what fulfills our joy. Having Jesus at the center, having that grip being the thing that we hold on to the most, that, not comfort, that, not having things perfect, is where we will find our fulfillment. If you want to look forward in life to your journey that Jesus is taking you on as a church or on as an individual, you won't be able to understand everything that happens. But you will have Jesus. You want to overcome despair, you won't find healing in analyzing your situation and all the different intricacies that may be there, but you will find that in fellowship with Jesus. John writes this because he knows that only with Jesus at the center of our lives will we be convinced that Jesus is our ultimate source of joy, no matter the hardships or joys of our journey. And as we think of this joy, isn't our joy truly from that fellowship that we have with him? Isn't the joy we hold on to most dearly, the joy comes from knowing that our God knows us intimately? Is that not the joy that we have, that our God understands us, cries on our behalf, prays on our behalf? Isn't the joy we have comes from a Jesus who shares our experiences with us? And we share likewise. Again, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, as Jesus talks about the vine and the branches, the fellowship that we have with him and with the Father because of being centered on Jesus, we read in John 15, 11 these words: "I have told you about this, about being grafted into Christ. I have told you this so that my joy may be with you and that your joy may be complete," or rather, your joy may be fulfilled. So brothers and sisters, beloved in Christ, we remain in community, we walk together, we share fellowship together, we remind ourselves of God's goodness together because we need to be encouraged, to be uplifted, to help each other take the blinders off so that we might find the goodness and see the goodness of our God once again, that which was always there from the beginning. Is not the church, this gathering of believers that we have, we stand together, we sing together, we remember and remember our God's work and have communion together simply to remind ourselves of what Jesus has done, the goodness that he has accomplished in the past. And it's in remembering that we move forward. Now, this is not easy. Not always. And Paul talks about this fellowship in jars of clay as we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. But notice right away at the beginning, in that verse, chapter 4, it says, we. We are hard pressed, but not crushed. And in translating further on, we are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We may be struck down, but we will not be destroyed because of the fellowship and life that we have been given in Jesus Christ. In remembering who our God is, in good times and in bad, we move forward, clinging to God's faithfulness. We move forward remembering God's grip on us. And so as a church, as a community, I encourage you, look back. Reflect back on all the good things that God has given to you as a congregation, as a church family. Reflect on all the different ways that God has blessed us. Yes, you will find hardships. Yes, you will find difficulties. But first and foremost, may you focus and center yourselves on the goodness of our God, who gives us good gifts. In remembering God's goodness, He builds His kingdom. In remembering God's goodness, in remembering God's faithfulness, we move forward in hope and in faith. Will you pray with me? Father God, Lord, we thank You for who You are. Lord, we come before You not only humbly, but in expectation of Your goodness. So God, we thank You. And we give You praise and glory for who You are. And even though, Lord, we may be going through some great times seeing Your awe and wonder, or Lord, we may be going through some difficult times being overwhelmed by the situation that we feel ourselves in, God, may we remember Your great faithfulness to us. And may that give us and bring us and result in joy everlasting. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.